Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to prepare our hearts for His Word. Father, we thank You for the blessing of being a child of God, Lord, being able to have access to You, to pray, to be together like this as a family, to worship You. And Father, we thank You for Your powerful Word. Lord, thank You that Your Word is knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, Lord. And Father, Your Word makes us complete, prepared for every good work. And that Your Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, guides us, empowers us, and uses Your Word to change us into the likeness of Christ. Lord, help us to be open, to be sensitive to Your Spirit's leading, to treat Your Word with great reverence and great awe. Lord, have Your way in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have one, there should be there one there in front of you there somewhere. You know, I hope that we all understand how important discipleship is for the church. Actually, for the whole world, for that matter. It's our God-given mission. It is the plan that Jesus gave us so that the gospel would spread to the ends of the earth. But in order for us to truly make disciples of others, we need to understand what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. When I say a disciple of Jesus, I'm talking about a follower of Christ. And in the past few weeks and in the weeks ahead, we're learning about what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're defining what a disciple looks like, what it is to be what we call a Christian. There's a transformation that takes place in the disciple's life, and thus far we've looked at the transformation of the heart that begins when we are born of God, when we repent of our sin and we believe in Jesus and surrender our lives to Him. Last week we looked at we started looking at the transformation of the mind. Because a disciple is now indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit, not only is the heart transformed, but we now have this new approach to the Bible. A pre-commitment to believe what God says and to obey what He teaches us. And as we do that, God uses His Word to transform our minds to be like His. And this transformation of the mind changes everything, and we're going to learn about that today. As we learned last week, Jesus' disciples have this very high view of God's Word, a great reverence, a great awe of His Word. The worldview of the Bible becomes our new worldview. Because God's Word answers all of life's most important questions, because His Word explains who God is, and what He's done, and what He's going to do, because God's Word explains why we see what we see in the world and how to handle that, we now look at the world and we look at all of our circumstances through the Bible. As we talked about last week, it's like the Bible's like a pair of glasses that we look through so that it gives us a clear perspective, a clear understanding about the world around us. This week, we're going to continue to learn about the transformation of the mind. Disciples of Jesus now think differently than they used to. Now, their minds have been transformed by God through His Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that brings about this transformation, not just of the mind, but of our lives. The transformed mind changes the way we live our lives. In fact, this has always been one of the hardest issues that we face as a disciple of Jesus. Many have asked that question, how do we live in the world and not become like the world? Now, some people have gone to the extremes to see this through. They've disconnected themselves from society and make for themselves a utopian culture in order to live a life of purity. We have quite a few moving into our community these days. We have heard the phrase to be in the world but not of the world. What does that mean? And Jesus said something similar about His followers when He was praying to the Father on behalf of His disciples. He said this in John 17, 14 through 18. He says, I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And so Jesus is making this very clear. Yes, we are not of the world. We do not live and we do not act like the world does. but we are his witnesses in the world. He has sent us into the world with a mission and a ministry, and his concern here in that prayer was that they be protected from the evil one. This transformation of the mind helps us to not be conformed to the world. That's what we need to understand. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So how do we live with, interact with, go to work with, go to school with, play with those who do not know Christ, and then not become like them in their lifestyle? In this passage, we get a glimpse of this new life where our minds are being renewed, and that renewal of the mind brings about change in our life. First off, in this passage, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start there in verse 17. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19 first here. First off, Paul reveals the mind of those who do not know Christ. The darkened mind we had before we came to Christ, before we came to know Christ, the way we used to think, before we heard the good news about Jesus and we surrendered our lives to him. Let's look there at verses 17 through 19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now Paul here in verse 17 starts off with a strong warning, a command for God's children. You must no longer walk like the Gentiles do. And when he said that, that means, in other words, we must stop living like the world does. Remember, in Christ we're now this new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ you're a new creation. You've been born of God, born of the Spirit. In Christ he's given you everything we need. 2 Peter 1:3 and 9, 3-9. He talks about everything in, for godliness has been given to you. All the power you need. We've been adopted by God. We now have God the Holy Spirit that lives in us. He's empowering us. God's power then gives us this newfound understanding of God's Word, as we talked about. So now we know what He expects of us. Not only that, you have the church. Now think about the body of Christ here. You have the church, which gives us examples of Christ-like living, gives us greater encouragement for to live in this world, gives us a greater understanding of God's Word through discipleship and teaching, helps us grow in spiritual maturity. And on top of all that, Christ is interceding for you at the throne of God. So you're not alone. Think of all the benefits, the blessings that you have because you're in Christ, your new creation. God has not only made it very clear what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ, He is empowering us to live as disciples of Christ. And His Word, there's no misunderstanding. There's no misunderstanding in His Word what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ, what this new life looks like. Therefore, Paul's saying here, we don't live our lives as we used to live. We don't act like we used to act. We walk in newness of life now in Christ. And because we've been born of God, our hearts and our minds are being transformed by God Himself. Paul then opens the door of understanding into the life of those who live without Christ, who live by the standards and the culture of this world, who is under the leadership of Satan. And if you remember, this is what you used to be like. This is what we used to be like before Christ. These people that he's talking about are people that are created in God's image. And we talked about that this morning, with great purpose in mind. Yet their thinking doesn't allow them to know that. These are people we work with. These are people who we are neighbors with. These are maybe even some of our own family. Look at how Paul describes their way of thinking here. There is a futility. In other words, there's a vanity in their way of thinking. Their understanding of things, he says, is darkened. Therefore, he says they are alienated from their Creator, kept from the abundant life that God has for them. He says there is an ignorance in their thinking. In other words, there's a lack of understanding when it comes to the things of God. He gives the reason there at the end of verse 18. Do you see it there? It's because they are hard of heart. They have become callous toward God. In other words, they have rejected God's call on their lives and they have rejected this free gift of salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, it kind of clues us in to what has happened in the minds of people like this. Us, we used to be before Christ. Listen to what he says. We need to understand first that God is revealed. In this passage, he says, God's revealed himself to everyone through the general revelation of creation. So in what he has created, he has revealed himself, and he says we are without excuse. And then in verse 21, he says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." So just as he states in verse 19 of this passage in Ephesians, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. See, people think when they have rejected God and his word and they're believing the philosophies of this world that they have become wise in some way. But here he says they have become fools, for they have been tricked into believing a lie. Lies that have been manufactured by Satan himself in our culture and in our world. Lies that bring destruction and death upon every human being. Therefore, they have given themselves to whatever their bodies desire, whatever your desire is, whatever you desire for your life, whatever seems right in their own darkened minds. Because they have not received the truth, they are spiritually dead. A person cannot possibly have true understanding about life and their purpose in this world without a relationship with their Creator. Because they have not been born of God, they cannot truly understand the world and all that they see around them. They can't truly understand the circumstances that we actually can find ourselves in. Their understanding is darkened. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it states that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the truth about Christ. Satan is actually trying to blind the minds, the eyes of our hearts from seeing the truth about Jesus. Without Christ, a futile thinking keeps us from having this true understanding, finding true purpose. The hardness of heart, this callousness toward God and his truth reveals the real issue here. The real issue here is people naturally want to live their lives based on their own terms. That's the real issue. Even as believers, we still struggle with that. We still want to live our lives based on our own terms instead of God's terms that we see in his word. And so people naturally want to live their lives based, you know, they want to do it, I'm going to do it my way. And we convince ourselves that our way is best. And we even think that we are wise when in fact we lack understanding and have become fools. People have the wrong idea about surrendering their lives to God. They don't understand that in our surrender to Christ, we find true freedom. They don't realize that when we reject, or when they reject God, when they reject God and his way, we have in turn surrendered ourselves to the world and its ways. In fact, we are deceived in our minds because we think that we're in control when we are not. They're slaves. See, before Christ, we were slaves to our own sin. We're slaves to a master called Satan himself. So we don't realize because we can't stop doing sinful things. We have no power, no control over our flesh. We just do whatever we will. 1 John 3:10 says, "By this it is evident who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." This was our way of thinking before we came to know Christ. This was our normal lifestyle of habitual sin. This is the lifestyle of many people we know. And Paul is saying, don't go back to that old lifestyle. Don't go back to the way you used to live. It's like a dog that goes back to its vomit. It's repulsive. As a disciple of Christ, God uses us to take the message of life to the world. And in order for this to work, in order for this to be effective, God had to make sure that his children would be different. That there would be some powerful change taking place in our lives. Hence the transformation that he brings about transforming our hearts and our minds and our lives. Because we can't share a message about life and hope if there's no life and hope in us. if there's no change, if there's no difference. That's why the world cries out hypocrite when they see the church or talk about the church. God made this possible by placing God the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we would have the power we need to overcome our flesh. A disciple of Jesus now thinks differently. We have different motives. We have different goals in life. We have different responses to life's problems and sufferings because we are indwelled by God. And we are His children. And therefore, we must act like it and not be conformed to the world. We've looked at the darkened mind that we had before Jesus and how that affected our lives. Now let's look at the transformed mind that we have in Jesus and how that affects the way we live our lives. Look there at verses 20 through 24. Transformed mind we have in Jesus. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, his focus is on the mind here. He starts off here with the way you learned Christ. Now, he did not say learn about Christ. See, a person can learn about Christ and never be saved. It says here that you learned Christ. You were taught in Him. To learn Christ and be taught in Him means to have a personal relationship with Him. That's what he's talking about here. To know Him, to get to know God better every single day. This fellowship with Christ is based on the Word of God. It says there, the truth is in Christ. See, the better we understand the Word of God, the better we understand the Son of God, and the deeper our relationship grows. When we believe the truth of God's Word about faith in Christ, we gain new life from God. Not only have we become a new creation, God began that process of transforming our lives to be like that of Christ. The old way of life was done away with, he says there in verse 22. We put off the old self. That's our old corrupt lifestyle, our old deceitful desires, our old selfish terms for how we wanted to live life. We put that off, and now we walk in the newness of life in Christ. Now, how can this be possible? Well, he says there in verse 23, we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. God has begun His transformation of our minds. As we looked at earlier in John 17, he said, Jesus was praying for us. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. See, as the mind learns and understands the truth of God's word, this transformation slowly happens in our minds. And the Holy Spirit starts to change our minds. Your mind is changed to think as God thinks. And this renewal, this change of mind leads to a change in your lifestyle, a change in your habits, a change in what you do, how you think. Physically, you are what you eat. Spiritually, you are what you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What are you dwelling on? What are you allowing to be filled up with? What's coming into your mind through your ears and through your eyes? This is why it's so important for us as disciples of Jesus to spend time with God every day, reading, studying, meditating on God's Word, taking time to ponder, to think about, to talk with Him, to enjoy communion with God. We definitely take for granted the relationship we have with God. If we were just to ponder that for a second, when you say relationship with God, that means what we stated about this morning, He spoke everything into creation in 6 days. He created it all. He created you and I. The God who says holds the universe in the span of His hand in Psalms. The all-powerful, almighty, holy God, the Creator. We have a relationship with Him. Just ponder that for a moment. Just think about the gravity of that. We have a relationship through Christ with Almighty God. How important is it that we spend time with Him? Jesus says in John 15:5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In this time with God, He directs us to do what He says there in verse 24. He says to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Only in God's power and sufficiency can we walk in this newness of life. The power of God's truth that he talks about here brings about this renewal, this transformation of the mind, and in turn it starts to change our lives. I want us to think about an example of this. We talked about this morning a little bit, having a reverence and awe of God's Word. And we see this. We see this good example of the power of God's Word to change minds, to change hearts, and to change lives. And it's found in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. It's one of my favorite kings, the story of King Josiah. He had become a king, and he was having the temple cleaned out and rebuilt. And during this time, the priest found the book of the law, the scrolls of the law that was given to the people through Moses. And so here is this word of God. He brings it to King Josiah, and then he reads it. It says, brought, and he reads the words of God to King Josiah, and listen to how he responded. Chapter 34, verse 19, he says, and when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. See, and it goes on, not only did he rend his clothes, he rendered his heart before God. God's truth brought about this true repentance of the heart. King Josiah had the priest. He said, inquire of the Lord for me. Because I realize that God's truth, that we are in great sin before God, and his wrath is going to be poured out on us. Please inquire of the Lord for me. Then King Josiah, he stands before all the people, and he starts to read the law. Listen to what happened after he read God's word in verses 31 and 30 through 34. Says, the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory. That's all the idols that were set up and all the things they were worshiping besides God. He took all those abominations away from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. And all his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. The truth of God's word changed Josiah's mind and heart, and in turn his life was changed. His actions, his behaviors, his lifestyle, and the lives of others around him were changed. I mean, it's an amazing story. King Josiah had such great reverence and awe of God's word. He listened intently to God's word. He believed his word, and the Lord changed his mind and heart as he walked in obedience to God's word. Do we have that kind of reverence, that kind of awe when we look at God's word? We talked about how powerful, how important it was last week. This is God's word breathed out to us. It's powerful, it's living, it is truth for our lives. We also see another example, a transformation of the mind in a man named Saul. Saul was a devout Pharisee, and he was so zealous in persecuting the church. He had even approved to the stoning, the death of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon. He came before the Lord, and he was just sharing God's truth, and Paul's standing there, and he approved to the stoning of Stephen. Because he was sharing about Jesus. That Jesus is God. Acts 9, 1 and 2 states this, but Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, that's those who are followers of Christ, the way, men or women, he says, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so Saul is just full of pride. He's believing that he is right in his own eyes. He's not understanding the truth. He's so callous toward the plans of God. His thinking has become futile and darkened. And then he's headed off to Damascus in all of his zeal to bring these believers to jail, or even worse yet, to death. And so he's confronted along this way. He's confronted by Jesus and his word. Jesus stopped him in his tracks. He took away his sight. And he humbled him, and he spoke truth to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. One of Jesus' disciples, he sent, his name is Ananias, he sent him to Saul. And so he comes to Saul and he delivered God's truth to Saul. And then Saul repented of his sin and surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus. The transformation of Saul's mind began immediately. This is truly unbelievable. When he heard the word of God, the truth about Jesus, and believed it, it changed the way his way of thinking, and in turn, it changed his life and his actions. Acts 9:19-20 tells us what happened right after Saul surrendered his life to Christ. It says, "For some days he was with the disciples of Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" What? A few days earlier, he was going to put Jesus' disciples in prison, or even yet worse, to death. A few days earlier, he was believing that Jesus was a false prophet. And now through God's word, his mind has been renewed, transformed. His heart has been changed. His direction of his whole life has been changed. And he's now proclaiming the truth about Jesus, that he is God. And Jesus went on to use Saul to start a movement that is still going on today. Do you see the answer to our question? How can we live in a sinful world and not be conformed to it? See, as a child of God, you have communion with God. And in that relationship, God empowers you. As you spend time in His truth, the Holy Spirit renews your mind and changes you from the inside out. And we see there in verses 23 and 24, this transformation of the mind empowers you to put on the new self. This renewal of your mind helps you live in your new identity in Christ, helps you become like Christ in true righteousness and holiness, as he says there in verse 24. Therefore, we can no longer live like we used to live. The transformation of the mind makes it so hard for us to conform to the ways of the world. Most likely, almost for sure, you're going to fall into sin from time to time. I can say that because we're all sinners. Yet we're saved by grace, but we're still sinners. But because your mind has been transformed by God's truth, you understand what's going on when that happens. You're aware of it. Therefore, when this happens, you humbly come before God, you acknowledge your sin, you repent of your sin, and you receive His forgiveness, and you learn from your mistakes, and you allow Jesus to restore you and make you whole again. And in this process, you willingly and continually surrender your life to His leadership. And that's when Galatians 5:16 takes place. A verse that we should remember. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? That renewal of the mind brings about this change in your heart. And you can't walk like you used to walk anymore. There's repentance, there's forgiveness, there's a surrendering to the Holy Spirit to control your life so that you don't walk as you used to walk. You don't gratify the desires of the flesh anymore. We're going to finish with a few questions here to think about. Do you view God's Word with great reverence and awe? How do you view God's Word? What we think about this, what we believe about His Word, makes all the difference in the world. All the difference to whether we're going to really, truly want to hear from God, spend time with Him, listen, ponder what He has to say, whether this is how we live our lives, this is by what we live our lives, or do we live our lives based on what the world tells us? Do you view God's Word with great reverence and awe? In His Word, is His Word the standard in which you live by and make all your decisions? And that's easy to answer that question. When you have to make a decision, is this the first place you go? When you're faced with an obstacle, a trial, hard circumstance, unforeseen, is this the first place you go? Is it to God's Word? Do you go to Him and you ask with every decision during the day that praying without ceasing is a constant communion with God? Lord, I've got this, I've got to make a decision about this employee. I've got to make a decision how I respond to this. I've got to make a decision about what I do in this circumstance. All throughout the day, You're going to God first. That tells us whether this is the standard by which we live our life by. Or is it I'm calling a friend? Or is it I'm looking to the world? Is it this is my experience that I go by? This is how I make my decision. Whatever suits me best. Whatever is best for me. There's a big difference. Or may we be like the many kings who came before Josiah. And God's word was just sitting on a shelf, collecting dust. Never opening it, never listening to God. Are you listening to God and allowing His truth to transform your mind? To change the way you think and the way you live? And lastly, has your way of thinking caused you to conform to the world and its ways? We are what we think. We become that. What are you allowing to enter into your mind? Because we can watch certain things, listen to certain things, view certain things that will corrupt our minds, that will feed the philosophies of the world into our minds and change the way we act and respond and live our lives. Is your way of thinking caused you to conform to the world in its ways? So as the worship team comes, begin to think through these questions. Answer them, not just right now, but ponder this throughout the week. Ponder, what do you think about God's word? Is it the truth that you live by? Because this is a disciple's life. Ponder this and make room for God in your life. Make room. May this time right now be a surrender for you. You're like, Lord, I'm just tired of living my life my way. I'm tired of living life based on my terms. I really want to know. I really want to see. I want to taste and see that you are good. And I want to see what all these spiritual blessings are that I have in Christ. And so I surrender. May this be your time of surrender, a time to make some changes, to allow time for you to hear from God. Trust me, His way is better. His way is better. I can tell you, His way is better. Not just have I seen it in my own life, I've seen it in others. Lots of others. His way is always better. So surrender Him. Make room right now as we sing this song.